This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Are you ready to feel happier? To have more fun? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about right here, right now on Polly Campbell, Simply Set. Welcome to Polly Campbell Simply Said. This is the podcast where we talk about how to live well, do good, and be happy. And you know, one of the things I'm curious about, and you know this if you listen to the show, because I talk about this a lot, it's how we can become creators of our own lives. There is so much in the world that we do not control, but we can control our responses to everything, and we can decide where to put our energy. Can we be agile in our thinking? Can we be creative problem solvers? Can we have more fun in our lives? I think we can. And I think what that comes down to is really acting on our creative instincts. This is about creative living. Creativity isn't just for artists or writers like I am. And so I want to get into this and take a deep dive into this. And I brought on life strategist Cynthia Gregory to teach me about it. Welcome to the show, Cynthia.
Hi, Polly. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I was talking to you before, and I am just excited to visit with you because you're an executive life coach and a life strategist, but you've spent over a decade helping people, you say, find their happy. You're also a writer and a published author, and you're really all about stories, helping us to learn our own narrative and revise that narrative so we don't get stuck in this, I can't, I'm afraid, I can't do this stuff. And that excites me because I really think, you heard the opening, I think how we respond to the circumstances of our lives really changes how well we live. Now, am I full of hogwash, or does this make sense to you?
Makes sense to me. I mean, we have every choice point is an opportunity for choosing happy or staying where we are in our safe little place. And as any coach worth their weight will tell you, you know, what you want exists in your uncomfortable zone because you haven't quite arrived there. So if you're willing to step into that creativity zone, that liminal space of creativity, then anything is possible.
Liminal space, that's a really good term for it because, you know, I'm a professional writer, but I'm also a parent and I'm a wife and I'm a golfer and I have these other interests. Mm-hmm. And I find that they require many of the same skills when I'm focused, but it is uncomfortable at times when I need to learn a new golf swing and think about that differently. It feels off. I feel like I can't do it. And I feel like, why don't I just revert to my old habit? But you teach us how to think broader than that, it sounds like.
I like to think in an open-ended way. I feel like I am super creative, but I can also be very tactical and strategic as well. And so I often let my inner creative child out to play. That's when I find I'm happiest. It's when there's no judgment about creation, because so many adults have all this pressure on themselves to, if they're going to create, they've got to do it right. And I'm like, you're driving with one foot on the brake when you try to create and do it right. Because, right, it's like there is no wrong way to play. And it is in itself the end game. If you get something creative out of it, so much the better. But that's what I mean when I talk about liminal space, space between a heartbeat or the space between thoughts. If you really lean into those places, they're deep and they're wide, and it's an excellent place to source possibility.
This feels a little vulnerable the way you're talking about it, though, right?
We have. Oh, yeah. It can be very scary. This one of the things I offer my coaching clients, especially my writing clients, is I make it okay. It's like, listen, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to help elevate you and encourage you to play a little bit with some abandoned, let yourself loose a little bit. Take off the strings and just see what can happen. And then if you need to pull back from there, great. But you never know how deep and creative you can be if you don't let yourself go to the borders of what you already know.
To the parents out there, to the entrepreneurs, to the people who are working 9 to 5 and just try to get it all done, what do you mean by play, and how are we going to get this into our day?
I think it's really important to schedule play, to do those things that light you up, that make you feel a little bit lighter and feel like you felt like when you were a kid. Like, they say that children laugh at least, I don't know, at least 6 times a day, many more times than that, I'm sure. And as an adult, we lose that sense of play. We get very serious because life is serious. But nobody says that, tapping into that inner child energy in all of us is a bad thing. I think that it's a secret sauce toward happiness.
Secret sauce. That's
My
interesting.
coach has suggested that I schedule playtime, and I color coded in my calendar as pink because pink is my happy place. So I think that, if you're serious about creating any new habits in your life, whether it's a writing habit or a fitness habit or a self-care habit, schedule it and color code it so you can't miss it when you look at your calendar and go, let me see what's missing. Oh, I've taken care of the kids, I've taken care of the dogs, I've taken care of my spouse. Oh yeah, that last 15 minutes of the day in a nice candlelit bubble bath, that's for me.
I like that idea of color coding. The pink is a party color anyhow, Cynthia, right?
I know, it's happy. It's a happy, who
How
doesn't love flamingo, right?
do we know what play is for us? Like, how do we find this space where we can express ourselves and whatever that feels like? And what you said at the top of the show about moving into that discomfort, how do we do that? Because I've written about this, I've talked about this, and there are times when I'm like, whoa, that's too uncomfortable. How do we breach that and move into that space?
I think it can be in everyday ways. It can be an intentional practice, obviously it can. If you really want to sustain long-term change, you can really make it a practice. But I think that it's a lot easier to access that play space if you do it in everyday, ordinary ways. Like my theory as a writer and the anthology that I'm publishing next month called Love Notes from the Soul, it was born out of the idea that I think everybody has a story worth telling and sharing. And so I found a bunch of people who are willing to do that. So I like to find creative space every single day. Like I think I mentioned to you before the show that it's been raining here in Northern California a lot. I was taking my dogs out the other day and walking them in the rain with their little raincoats, and I had my big old rain boots on. I noticed they don't avoid the mud puddles at all. They just walk right through them. And I had boots up to my knees, so I looked around and I sloshed right through those mud puddles. My inner child was so happy when I did that.
You know what I find too, when I step in the puddle, when I get out of that and do something that maybe feels childlike or fun or energetic, I feel good like days to come. Like it's not just in the moment. I go back and I'm kind of proud of myself. Like, look at me being cool. Look at me have a little swag. Is that accurate?
A little swagger is a good thing. And yes, because I think that's just your inner feedback guidance system saying, yes, do that more. Because if it feels that good, it's also affecting the people around you. The people you love are all getting that sunshine shined on them too. So by making yourself happy, you can actually help elevate, your environment as well. So it's altruistic to be happy.
I have fallen into some of this stuff that you're talking about. When our daughter was young, I just was so beaten down by the daily chores of it. Seriously, it wasn't an easy time for me. She needed, especially when she was like 3, she always wanted to eat. She always wanted to play. She was being a kid, but it was really tough for me to juggle all that. finally, I decided that if I was going to cook for her and do these things for her, I was going to have fun too. And I'd make up these little songs and I always did it under the guise of entertaining her.
Right.
But I think now, years later, that was fun for me, right? It activated my brain in a new way that helped turn these daily chores into something that didn't feel so stressful or upsetting.
Yeah, you know, I think also another factor in that is like when you're in your happy place, you are not projecting worry into the future. You're not regretting the past. You're not trying to, you know, follow the school board PTA agenda. It's like you were in the moment. You're preparing a meal for your beautiful daughter. You're infusing it with love and being happy, which is also demonstrating to her this loving little virtuous cycle that's occurring in the moment.
All right. Now I'm thinking of things I'm going to put on my list. You're inspiring me just talking about this, and that's part of it for me. I have to be out in the world and see things that kind of invoke my curiosity or feel interesting, and then I can get excited. We're going to take a quick break, Cynthia. When we come back, I want to get into some specifics. What are some things we can do right now to start bringing this playful, creative nature back into our lives? You're listening to Polly Campbell, Simply Said, and I'm here with Cynthia Gregory. We've got to take a quick break from the best business network of Electrocast and come back and talk more about how to become more playful and creative in our lives right here on Polly Campbell, Simply Said.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Polly Campbell, Simply Said. And we're here today with life strategist Cynthia Gregory. And Cynthia, you were talking about this narrative of our lives and be more playful and creative, not just as an expression as a writer or an artist, but in life. What are some of the ways we can bring these things into play to start feeling that again and that energy in our life?
It's a practice. It's like yoga or fitness or anything, and it's being intentional about it. I think that really helps a lot. I think that also we tend to put things off to some time that's more convenient. Oh, I'm going to do that when I can carve out 3 hours to sit down and do that. But it's like really life happens in the moment. And so if we can be happy in the moment, even if we're sitting in traffic, even if, you know, we're at the grocery store and the line, you know, the checkout line is a mile long, we can find ways to be happy if we're willing to do that. And I did that when I was commuting about 5 years ago. I was commuting in the Bay Area, and it's a, you know, Bay Area is so beautiful. And there I was in this gorgeous landscape. And instead of stewing over the long line of traffic in front of me, I put down the windows and let the air blow through the car and heard the sound of the wetland birds. And like suddenly I didn't mind where I was at all. So I think that you use the circumstances of your life to choose the gift in any moment. And I know that sounds very Pollyanna, and sometimes you just don't want to.
Sometimes you just don't want to. But the payoff is that when you do, we feel better and more able to cope with the moment.
Oh, yeah. And you're not flooding your body with stress hormones, because that, you know, is washing your brain in stress hormones, which teaches your brain to react more stressfully. So I think that it's like we can walk right up to the edge of that stress, take a breath, and step back.
Is this time consuming? I'm sorry to jump
no,
in there.
No, it's like in the minute. I mean, in the moment, you can choose. Because honestly, I think whenever you choose to be stressed in a moment, it's like you're responding appropriately on some level. But I kind of doubt that some of the things that impact our lives today are truly worth becoming so stressed out about. If we pause before we react, then we open ourselves up to the possibility of responding a different way. This used to be something that people say, before you get angry, before you say something angry, count to 10. And I don't know if counting to 10 actually worked, but But what the idea is to create some space, create that liminal space. Instead of letting everything get all stacked up like a bunch of dominoes, it's like you can just pause. Nothing's going to happen in that pause. And ask yourself, when I get to the end of my life, am I going to regret having stayed in the house and done the dishes when my daughter wanted to go play Foursquare? Probably. Why don't we go play Foursquare?
What role does creative expression need to have in our lives, do you think, whether we're a professional creator or not? Is that innate to us? The painting, the writing, the dancing, the whatever. Is that something that is healthier if we build that in, or is it just one more thing on our to-do list?
I think it's intrinsic. I think you said it. I think that we are born creative. We come from a creative place and we cannot help but be creative, but that looks differently to different people. I mean, some people's creative genius is building a real estate empire. They're really good at that. Other people, I think when you lean into things that you really love and that really light you up, you're going to have fun with it. And you cannot help but create because that kind of happiness engenders creativity, whether it's artistic creativity or, creating a home can be an extremely creative process.
Yeah, I love thinking about that. Managing a household, parenting a child, staying in a marriage that's fun and interesting, that is a huge creative
Creativity.
endeavor for me, right?
It really does. I mean, it takes intention to make all of those things work because it's so easy in a 24/7, news cycle world to get caught up in stuff that doesn't matter. And creating the life that we really truly desire to live is one of I think the one most important creative endeavors we can undertake.
When I just said that, I felt something different in my body when I started thinking about my marriage as a creative expression, right? It changed right there because it really is. We've been married for over 20 years and I want to be married for another 20, but I have to do things a little differently, right? So how important is it that we look at our creativity a different way and become more expansive? How can we tell a new story around that?
I love that question so much because I'm always about telling a new story. So sometimes when I'm working with a client, they'll say something, I'll go, "Wow, that's a really good story." And they'll go, "Okay, thanks." And I'm like, "Is it true?" Because so often the stories we tell ourselves are not true. Oh, that's never going to happen. Oh, I always mess up. Oh, whatever it is that you say, it's like, really, is that true? Because from what I've seen, I think you're awesome. So where does that come from? So I think it's really good to question your assumptions always, always. Because
Okay, what does that look like?
I think that for one thing, I've been really big about questioning my habits lately and wanting to form new habits. And I go, that's what I do. And I'm like, really? Is that the only option, really? Because I always want to keep things fresh. I always want to keep things new. I am a lifelong learner and I'm going to be eternally curious about everything. And I want to bring the people I love along on that journey with me.
Yeah, I love thinking about it like that. Like when we go to that place of curiosity, I think the very next step is a creative one. It's an expansive one because if you're questioning something or you're interested in something, the very next thing I go to in my head is, "Oh, I wonder when I can try that," or "I wonder how that works," or "I wonder what she's thinking about that," or whatever it is. That's an interesting place to live. And you said it earlier, when I'm in that space, I'm not worried about what might happen tomorrow or yesterday. I am more like, oh, I'm in that space. Oh, that's interesting that the rain looks like that, or that my boots got wet when I hit the puddle, or my dogs like the puddle, or that's an interesting place to be. And I think then the problems become easier to manage too, because we're more expansive in our approach to life.
We're more expansive, and I think that we fall in love with the miraculous that life represents in those tiny moments. The big stories of our lives are not the broad sweeping stories. Those are the micro minutes when you have a realization, or you fall in love, or you break your heart. In that moment is when you're fully alive. And I don't think we spend enough time in that moment.
Fall in love with the miraculous.
Right. And that's the, I bring that to my writing practice when I'm teaching writing as well. And they go, what am I going to write about? And I went, you know, why don't you just sit quietly and write about what shows up? You know, what are you noticing? What is it that's happening that you're looking beyond? Because even in those moments, some of my best writing has come out of moments like that, where I'm just like totally randomly, I don't even know what I'm saying, but I'm opening up to what is possible around me and then putting that on the paper.
I love that. Opening up to what is possible. All right, Cynthia Gregory, this is making me think. I feel excited. I think this is a way to get unstuck, to lean into this, listener, to start creating the experiences you want in your life. Don't worry about what's going to happen 5 years from now. Take care of this moment. When we do better in this moment, when you're having fun, when you're engaged, when you're curious, you're going to do better. But I like knowing that in this world of all these external factors and distractions, that we still can decide to find the miraculous.
It's amazing. I mean, when we really slow down, because we live in such a fast-paced world, when we really slow down intentionally, it's, you know, I think it was Kafka who said, you know, when you're really ready to let the world inform you, you know, it will writhe in ecstasy at your feet, you know, because it's like just waiting for you to notice, to engage, so you can go off on that grand adventure.
Yeah, I like that. Cynthia Gregory, this is fantastic. Where can we find you? Where can we work with you and learn more?
I am on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn under, if you search Gregory Cynthia, I will pop up. You can email me for more information. I'm in the process of rebuilding my website, but you can email me at coachcynthia.gregory@gmail. I have a book coming out next month. Pretty excited about that. And so, I would love to talk to you if you are interested in creativity, in managing your life better, in finding those creative moments and exploring them to make your life a little bit better. That's what I've dedicated my life to, and it's just so much fun.
Fantastic. And I will put Cynthia's links into our Simply Said newsletter, and you can get that at pollycampbell.substack.com and join our Simply Said community. And you know, listeners, I really believe in this stuff, and that's why I invited Cynthia to be on the show, because I think creativity is so often generalized and overlooked as a major factor in how we manage our stress, how we live our lives, our happiness, our health. I think it's a big deal. So, you know, think about how you can bring some of that playful nature back into your life. Think about how you can express yourself and do the things that feel good to you as an expression of your spirit and your energy. And when we do that, we will all live well, do good, and be happy.
Electric Acid. Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades, and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for
the Candle Power Hour.
I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interviews.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.